Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth. Let's pick up where we left off on yesterday's call. We're talking about how the Word gives you the guidelines to be successful. Today, we're calling it seven things prosperous people know.
Hallelujah.
The Bible is an instruction manual revealing how to walk in God's blessing flow and experience the good life He envisions for us. God's instructions are not situational. They don't vary based on current economic conditions, which party is in power, your personal circumstances, or unrest anywhere in the world. The principles in God's Word are clear and absolute. This is important to know now more than ever. If you want to experience God's power, you got to know His Word. Matthew 22:29, Contemporary English Version. Jesus answered, "You're completely wrong. You don't know what the Scriptures teach, and you don't know anything about the power of God." See, sounding spiritual doesn't make you spirit-led. We've discovered that a little truth or a half-truth is a dangerous thing. And truthfully, it can be deceptive.
That's right.
Sadly, there are a number of Christians, well-meaning, heaven-bound believers, who just don't understand prosperity, seed time, and harvest. Sometimes we're amazed, and not in a good way, at the lack of knowledge about what the Word has to say and what it doesn't say. Brief review, and then we'll finish this teaching. Number one, if you don't give now, the Bible says you never will. You have to plant seed before you can ever expect to see a harvest of anything other than weeds. We've heard the comments, well-meaning, good intention, words of those who say they're going to do great things for the kingdom of God when they receive their financial windfall. Honestly, it's not going to happen. How can I be sure these good folks will never pay off a church mortgage or give $1 million to their favorite charity? Simple, the Word of God. Luke 16:10. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And that he that is unjust in the least is also unjust in much.
Number two, things are never so tight that you can't afford to give. If the enemy can get you to believe that you can't afford to tithe or give offerings, then he has the ability to take advantage of you. The enemy is powerless to impact our lives until we give him that power. And it's done by how we communicate our current financial situation with the words we speak and the things that we confirm in writing. If we sow words that indicate a lack of faith in God's provision or His ability to move in our current situation, then we are going to live in financial shortage. Life and death, as it says in Proverbs 18:21, is in the power of the tongue.
Amen. Number three, saying you have nothing to give means you aren't applying the Word of God. Even if you feel like you don't have nothing to give, don't say it. The words that you speak either empower or disable the blessings of God. Angels respond to His Word, which is why you should be speaking words of faith over your finances, your health, and for that matter, everything else. Make sure you study, meditate on Psalm 103:20. Sadly, there is a shortage mentality where the immediate subconscious response is, "I have nothing to give. I have nothing to give." Listen, that's not true unless you believe it and confess it to be so. But if you sow, God will provide because He gives seed to the sower. The Bible's clear about that. If you sow, you will reap. If you don't, you won't. And whatever you sow is what you're going to reap. It's just that simple.
Number four, stay away from doubt at any cost. One of the enemy's greatest weapons is to create doubt in our minds about promises of God. doubting is not of God. The scripture is full of it. In James 1 verse 7, New Living Translation, it says this way, such people, doubters, should not expect to receive anything from the Lord.
Well, now let's pick up where we left off on yesterday's call. Number 5, you're blessed so you can bless others. Now, don't get us wrong. God wants you blessed. Ever the foundation of God's covenant with you, and we talked about that several weeks back, is that you're blessed so that you can be a blessing. So many Christians think, mistakenly think, I should say, that God's covenant with us is found in the first 14 verses of Deuteronomy 28. But that is not the covenant. Deuteronomy 1 through 14 describes the blessings that keepers of the covenant will receive from God. The actual covenant, the covenant with us, first spoken to Abram in Genesis 12, verses 1, 2, and 3. Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3. Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kingdom and form and from thy father's house into a land that I will bless thee and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless me and curse them that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. We need to get a hold of what I'm going to say next. We can't bless anybody else if we're living from paycheck to Prozac. It's important to understand we can't bless anyone unless we have first been blessed ourselves. Hallelujah. Think on that.
Honey, it says in James 2:15 and 16, if brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Technically, you're sending them away with nothing. God is calling us to go beyond our own personal blessings and become a blessing. And literally, when you sow blessings, you reap blessings.
Honey, that's exactly right. We want you to get a hold of this next statement. Write it down. Get it deep in your spirit. You may have heard me say it before, but it bears repeating. God does not prosper you for the purpose of raising your standard of living. He prospers you so you can raise your standard of giving. Let me say it again. God does not prosper us for the purpose of raising our standard of living. He prospers us so he can raise our standard of giving. Why does God desire to bless his people? He wants us blessed so we can become a blessing to others. We love 2 Corinthians 9:8. 2 Corinthians 9:8, classic Amplified. And God is able to make all grace, every favor and earthly blessing come to you in abundance so that you may always and under all circumstances and whatever the need be self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support, furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation.
Number 6, God wants you to make a difference, and you can. Do you know why you were born? In Jeremiah 1:5, it says, before I formed thee in thy belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. I promise you, nobody is born without God already knowing about it first. The word before is used twice in this verse, and it clearly indicates that the child was known before conception in time past. The word I is used 4 times, which clearly indicates that God is the one doing the speaking and that he knew that this child before he was ever created by a physical act of intimacy. The words thee and thou are used 5 times in this verse, and it indicates that a baby is more than a bunch of goo and massive cells without a purpose and a life plan. It is clear Jeremiah was known as a person before he was ever born, and so were you.
Amen.
Would it surprise you to know that you were created to meet a need?
Listen
to this. Hear this now. There are four things we want you to get deep down in your spirit. First, it doesn't matter if you don't know what that need is yet. Second, it doesn't matter if you don't feel qualified to meet anybody's need. Third, it doesn't matter if you wonder how you can help anybody else's needs when you can't even meet your own. And fourth, it doesn't matter if you can't see your potential as a difference maker, because God can, and He's the one who counts and will make it happen in you.
Amen, and hallelujah, and thank you, Lord. Number seven, three scriptures you must know to fulfill God's plan for your life. Isaiah 43, 1 and 2. Isaiah 43, 1 and 2 in the Message Bible. Don't be afraid. I redeemed you. I called your name. You're mine. When you end over your head, I'll be there. When you're in rough waters, you will not drown. When you're between a rock and a hard place, it won't be a dead end. Because I am God, your personal God.
That is incredible.
Hallelujah. Ecclesiastes 2:26, 2:26, Amplified Bible, classic. For to the person who pleases him, God gives wisdom, knowledge, and joy. But to the sinner, he gives the work of gathering and heaping up that he may give to one who pleases God. This also is vanity and a striving after the wind and a feeding on it. Finally, Psalm 37, verses 7 and 9. Psalm 37, verses 7 and 9, New Living Translation. Be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for Him to act. Don't worry about evil people who prosper or fret about their wicked schemes. For the wicked will be destroyed, but those who trust in the Lord will possess the land.
Can anybody say hallelujah?
So here's the question. Are you ready to possess the land? Meditate on the scriptures in this teaching so you'll be ready. You'll be ready. God wants us moving into a deeper level of revelation and understanding as we assume a position of leadership, one designed to move us from where we are to where God wants us to be. That's the key. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And a very special final word today.
Yes. Very special day.
Amen. It's our baby girl's birthday.
Yeah.
She is 30 years old.
Wow.
Hallelujah.
How about that?
We don't have time, but I'd like to tell you about the night she was born.
Oh, man. She was
She's amazing. Graduated from TCU.
Yep.
Got her master's at the University of Edinburgh in Scotland. Has an assistant position to a major entertainment figure.
Mm-hmm.
That's really literally a household name. She's amazing. She really is. And a blessing. Plus, she and a friend of hers wrote a play.
Yes.
And it was
well received.
Well received over three different weekends, sold out. And they've just signed a contract. Someone's going to make that play a movie.
How about it?
So happy birthday, baby girl. We love you.
Yes, we do.
And we love everybody listening today.
Yes, we do.
Until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Bye-bye.